Sports Minutes with Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan.
It's a standing ovation for Ferrari in Albert Park. It's a Ferrari 1-2 in Australia. It's victory for Carlos Sainz. What a performance for Carlos Sainz here. And I think around the world, everyone should stand and applaud his efforts this weekend.
Money FM 89.3, a Ferrari 1-2, and it's amazing what you can do without an appendix.
Yeah, it certainly is, right? I guess even Lando Norris joked about getting his appendix removed just so he can win a Grand Prix. But fair play to Carlos Sainz. 2 weeks after undergoing appendix surgery to remove that appendix, he's come out and won his third Grand Prix of his career.
I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of meme referrals throughout this session because there was another meme that came out. Lando Norris was on a like one of those operating theatres and a bubble came out with the words, just remove everything.
Exactly. Maybe it helps with the weight classification in terms of F1, right? But fair play, what a result. I feel like Formula 1 needed that so early in the season because we've had two Grand Prix. Australia was number three. One and two was won by Max Verstappen. Mm. And me and you were speaking off air about how it's all getting a bit predictable and I dare say boring. So this was the shot in the arm almost that the sport needed.
And you know what? I gave it a chance yesterday because I was out on medical leave on Friday, Saturday recuperating, Sunday still kind of recuperating. And I go, you know what? Let's do something different. Let's watch the Grand Prix.
And this was probably the tonic you needed to get much better, right? Because it was a good race. And perhaps F1 needs you watching week in, week out just to, you know, jinx it almost. You know what I mean? Not that Max would agree.
The last time I watched a Formula 1 Grand Prix was Singapore.
And Carlos.
And guess who
exactly
won.
Well, the good news for you is Japan is also in an Asia-friendly time. That's the next race coming up. But before we get too carried away, let's listen into the Ferrari 1-2. Here's Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc speaking after their win.
Yeah, I can just tell you I'm extremely happy, and not only because of these last 2 weeks, but because of how difficult this year it's been so far. You know, as I said on the radio, a bit of a roller coaster. You start the year with the bad news of the non-renewal and a bit thinking, okay, what's next in my life? And then you prepare yourself, you go training, you do your winter testing, you arrive to the first race, and boom, a good podium that sets the season going, gets the season going, and then suddenly the appendix, the unknown of when am I going to be back, am I going to be back in full form, how long it's going to take me to get back up to speed and confident, and then suddenly you come back and win.
First and second was the best we could do this weekend, so on that I'm very happy. On my own performance, I'm not extremely happy. In qualifying, I didn't do a great job. I was starting further back than what I would have hoped for. In the race, my second stint wasn't great. I had a lot of front graining. My last stint was really good, but that was too late to do anything. And Carlos has been on it the whole weekend, so congratulations to him. He deserves it.
I'll tell you what, it was one fascinating race. You know, to see the Ferraris and the way they managed things up top, you know, when they would go into the pits. For a while, I thought Lando Norris, who finished third, would catch up. And the only reason he was in third, because he was on slightly better pace. There were team orders for him and Oscar Piastri to switch places. So I found it quite fascinating. And it suddenly became interesting again to see these guys battle for the top five. There's a George Russell that we'll talk about in just a while. And all this ignited because Max Verstappen's rear wheel had smoke coming out or something like that?
Yeah, it's uncharacteristic for that Red Bull to almost have reliability issues, but that was the case. But I like to say on record that I believe Sainz overtook Verstappen even before smoke occurred. So to Sainz's credit, he did overtake and take P1 on merit. Of course, Verstappen falling out later helped him keep that place.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's uncharacteristic, but I'm sure, speaking of memes, you would have seen a ton of pictures of Australian fans cheering when Verstappen sat out of the race because of that problem to his right rear. And I think that speaks volumes of how people want a different narrative, and I think we were afforded that.
Yeah, you know, Checo Perez also not having the best of races. He was lingering between 5, 6 and 7. There was a bit of a battle going on there as well. You can tell I actually watched the race. But let's listen to Max Verstappen talking about that DNF.
In the car, from my side, already when I had that moment in turn three, it was very weird why that happened, because you weren't really pushing, you're just easing into the race, you know, settling in. But of course, once I got out of the car, you look into the data, and basically what happened was from the when the lights went off, the right rear brake stuck on, And yeah, it didn't cool. So it just kept on being warmer and warmer, giving me really weird instabilities. And then, of course, it caught fire.
You know, I got to say, to his credit, normally this guy, he gets quite upset. Like, remember Singapore Grand Prix? And the only reason I remember this is because I finished Drive to Survive as well over the weekend. He was very unhappy that his Red Bull didn't do well on the Singapore circuit. The car is so bad, he's saying. But watching his body language yesterday, when he got that DNF came out, changed, he looked quite relaxed.
Yeah, signs of maturity almost from Max Verstappen. And I guess the world titles does add to your maturity level, the way you think, the way you treat your team. And he sounded there like he almost accepted that this was a part of the sport. These sort of issues happen from time to time. For his sake, he was trying to gun for a 10th consecutive victory. His own record that he was trying to match. Unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition. But I think over the course of the season, it's a one-off. Red Bull will be back.
Yeah, they'll surely be back. They know what they're doing. But hey, at least it makes the Grand Prix a little bit more, the Grand Prix season, that is, a little bit more exciting compared with last year when he was winning, what, how many races in a row?
Exactly, crazy. Like running away with it completely. And I, that's why I made the point earlier that I feel the sport needed that in terms of viewership, because at some point people were going to stop watching because it became a bit predictable. Now, suddenly with Sainz's victory, all eyes will be on Japan and see what Ferrari can conjure there. And of course, the rumblings in the background of, we know Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari next year, and you talk about how Ferrari are doing so well, Mercedes continue to struggle. It's all almost stacking up for what should be a good rest of the season.
We talked about this, right? That perhaps Lewis Hamilton knows something that we don't, and that's why he took up the seat at Ferrari for next season. It feels a little bit unfair for Carlos Sainz. You start to wonder, maybe Sainz and Hamilton would have been a better pairing. But of course, Leclerc is a homegrown talent, as they say, right?
Exactly. He's born and bred Ferrari, so it's no surprise they decided to keep Leclerc over Sainz. But you feel for someone like Sainz, who's the only driver in the past 20 races, I believe, to take race wins off Max Verstappen, yet as he alluded to earlier, as we speak, he doesn't have a seat for 2025, which blows my mind really, but certainly he will be taken up by a new team next year.
For sure. Okay, so, and who knows, maybe McLaren might be one of them. Difficult to say, he was from McLaren previously.
Could Mercedes even be one of them? That's another question, right?
So let's talk about Mercedes. If you're Carlos Sainz, looking at Mercedes, why would you want to join? If you're Mercedes, if you're Lewis Hamilton in particular, you want to go into 2025 in the best possible form, but there's something immensely wrong with that car, and we saw it again yesterday at the Melbourne Grand Prix.
Yeah, when we spoke about Hamilton's move to Ferrari, there was this big push for Mercedes to give him a good send-off in 2024 and hopefully give him the equipment to try and go out and finish on a high, but it doesn't look that way. Here's Lewis Hamilton speaking in the weekend in Australia about the problems he's facing with this Mercedes car.
Felt great in P3, and it was strange because we were right there with these guys, and it felt we didn't really understand why. But then going to qualifying, and just the inconsistency within the car is it really messes with the mind. But George did a good job today. It is what it is. I just have to try and do a better job tomorrow.
Can you explain to anyone what it's like right now? I mean, P11 is... usually do sensationally around here. So tell me what it is that isn't there for you right now in this car, and what you're hoping the team can fix.
I mean, it's a long list. I think our car is on a bit of a knife edge. I think in the afternoon here, the wind picks up, same as P2. P1 was a bit better, and then when the wind picks up, the car becomes a lot more unstable. And then this morning was nice with calmer wind, and then as soon as the wind picks up, it gets a little bit less stable. But the others seem to be able to pick their pace up in qualifying. I'm not sure why. But the grip didn't feel the same in qualifying. Even though we had lighter fuel, it felt better in P3. So it's... it's not a great feeling for everyone in the team, but we'll just keep working away.
Lewis Hamilton speaking there, and after yesterday's DNF, right, this meme got recycled and posted again. I'll take it back to the Bahrain Grand Prix, where Hamilton complained that his seat had broken in the middle of the race. So the meme was Hamilton on the radio, "My seat is broken." Bono responds by saying, "Go sit in this Ferrari."
They're probably right. I mean, we listened to Hamilton there, and yes, obviously he's making sense of all the madness that's going on at Mercedes, but what I took away from it is he almost sounds so given up. Like he's just getting race weekend after race weekend, and it's disappointment after disappointment. And I feel for him. And I've just looked up the stats. His last race win was in the 2021 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix on 5th December 2021, which for a 7-time champion is worrying.
It's
to say
sad,
the least.
Right?
Exactly.
Worrying, sad. I mean, and also, if you look at his teammate, George Russell, seems to be able to extract a little bit more from that car. You might wonder if perhaps they're already looking ahead and building the car that's more for George Russell, since they know they've got him on the books. He seemed to be really enjoying that battle in 5, 6, 7, right behind Fernando Alonso, until a late brake causing him to misjudge, and it was quite a traumatic crash.
It was a traumatic crash, and rightfully Fernando Alonso was penalised post-race and lost some of his places in the finishing. But George Russell, yeah, it was a worrying crash. I've seen videos of him being stranded almost in the middle of the track, the race control for some reason refusing to bring out a red flag, rather doing a virtual safety car, which many people have questioned online as well. But I take your point completely. Yeah. It does seem that Mercedes have pushed towards focusing on George Russell a bit more. But I just want to make this point that as much as winning is such a good feeling and an infectious feeling, it seems like the way Mercedes are meandering at the moment is also a bit infectious, because week after week, they see themselves in new problems over and over again.
At the start, or on the surface, you wonder, would Toto Wolff be considering his future at Mercedes? And then if you look, dive deeper, you realize he can't leave Mercedes because he kind of co-owns it to an extent.
Exactly. I mean, maybe he can leave in his capacity as team principal, but he's so synonymous with the Mercedes brand that if you think anybody's going to turn things around, it would be him. For starters, he's already identified where Mercedes took the wrong step in terms of this development. Here's him speaking to Fox Sports Australia in terms of what Mercedes have done wrong.
I think we've lost our way at the beginning of 22. Because all our tools and systems gave us cars that were winning championships every single year. And then the new regulations were very much around the ground effect. That means all the suction happens through the floor. And we came out with a car that showed all the promises on the data and in the wind tunnel, but we didn't deliver. And then since then, we've changed everything from the layout, the suspension, the driver's position, the gearboxes. But it seems that the fundamental issue is at the core. We haven't solved it.
Wow, very engineering type of answer there. But the struggles continue for Mercedes, and it is worrying. In fact, if I were George Russell, I would be worried. Why would I want to stay?
Exactly. To your point about very engineering, behind all the jargon there, it almost seems like an admission that this season, nothing good is going to come of it. I mean, last season, despite their struggles, they still finished second in the Constructors' Championship. As it stands now, they are fourth behind McLaren at the moment. Yeah. And for Mercedes to not even finish in the top three would be very, very worrying. I know quotes have come out in terms of Toto Wolff questioning his position at the team.
Yeah.
If it continues this way and Mercedes finish outside the top three at the end of the season, there could be question marks over someone who has as much credit in the bank as Toto as well.
It's quite sad as well. And one also wonders, is he just buying time for the next set of regulation changes, which could happen in the next season and a half or so?
Yeah, I think that's the thing he's probably hoping on. That's the Hail Mary Mercedes are hoping on. That's probably the Hail Mary Hamilton is hoping on when he moves to Ferrari. But there's so much unknowns about that as well. One thing's for sure, the season has lit up and I can't wait for Japan.
Sports Minutes on Money FM 89.3.